Welcome to Office Hours, it's 4 p.m, let's get started. I'm going to go ahead and just jump straight in. No announcements today, but maybe some will come up based on the questions. Yay! Let's take a look. All right, so first question from Jay, how are you doing? I'm very tired. My sleeping pattern's like all sorts of upside down, and so, like, I don't know. I woke up at 2 today. It's not good. I'm going to resolve it soon. Josh says, what's the dog doing? The dog's in my bedroom. Their crate is in there, and you might not know this, but like dogs have a sort of natural sort of den tendency. They like being in sort of enclosed dark spaces sometimes. And so even though the crate door is open, he's just chilling out in there. He spends like an hour or two after we wake up, and I've only been awake since 2, so, you know, an hour or two after I wake up, he spends in there alone. I don't really know why he does it, and when he first started doing it, I was worried, because I was like, does he not love me anymore? But nah, like, dogs just, you know, they like denning sometimes, so he's over there. Eventually, he'll wake up and come say hi. Moving forwards, what's the Prime doing? I'm here answering questions. Zenra says, why am I dying? It's probably because you're working too much on the wiki. Take it easy. Banging noise was my footstool flipping upside down, strangely. Exo's question is about British TV shows. We'll do that one, like, if we have time. But there is a cash prize. secondarily, Exo has a question, which is there any reason the headless client is being prioritized for performance updates? It's not. We're just making GitHub issues right now. Fruks is working on like a bunch of stuff right now, and in some cases it might not be obvious that it's performance related, but remember what we talked about for weeks. You take the drunk drawer, you dump it on the floor, you sort through, you find the screws you need, you find the keys you need, you make GitHub issues, you start working on them. All right, Zenera says, how are you? I've answered that already. Cosmic says, only plans to add hand-tracked locomotion and menu support to Resonate natively. I think we'll get there at some point. We don't have much sort of demand for that right now, so it's not been prioritized. But if you'd like, if you'd like to see that, make sure that there's a GitHub issue open and that you have thumbs up it. Zenera says, considering there's a badge for doing localization, will there be future volunteering badges? Yeah. Like end goal for like. Badges is to make them more like profile-based badges. So if you go to your Steam profile right now, you'll see that there's like a bunch in there. And like you might be able to sort of still render them in the nameplate somehow, but we want to kind of like shove them into the profile more so that they turn into sort of achievements, but not like Steam achievements. I often compare it to the scenes in Pokemon where Ash opens up his little jacket or waistcoat, whatever it is, and he's got like all the Pokemon badges there in like an Excel spreadsheet pinned to the inside of his jacket. But yeah, Steam profile is another good example. So yeah, there is some there. I want to get one in for the wiki eventually. We need to have a threshold for that one as well. So you can't just go on the wiki and like, I don't know, drool onto a page and then get the wiki badge, but we'll figure it out. Noodlebug says, I'm sure this is answered somewhere, but is there an ETA for performance update? Nope, we don't even know what's in it. I would imagine that you'll start seeing the performance work ramp up in, and not speed, but just sort of like what we're talking about as we get more idea of what's going on. Like right now, we're still doing a few things of research. Squishy says, is there currently any sort of search feature for in-game hierarchy or protofox component browser? There is not, but there are plans to add it, yes. The node browser, the component attacher, and the inspector are due for a massive overwork rehaul, and they will have things like search in them. Fricks hasn't had time to work on it, but they are working when they get the chance as well on a search bar for the settings components. That's really easy to do because settings uses the whole new UI system that we're trying to work on. And in exploring doing that, it makes other searches easier. You probably won't get other searches with that feature, particularly because Fricks doesn't have time to work on it right now, but like it is in progress and I think that's going to be good. If we add another setting category to the setting screen, the category list on the left is going to start to scroll. I have previously mentioned to the content team that we need to double check that it supports scrolling, but I didn't make a GitHub issue for it, so I'll make one of those and make sure that it's taken care of. I don't know if it scrolls. I could probably inspect it and find out in like 5 seconds, but I just keep forgetting. Lex says, with Rick working on the process-based architecture for Resonate, do you think this will help in other ways than performance? Maybe it would help not having to deal with Unity so much when coding Resonate. Yes. We'll be able to write, like, portions of Resonate in, like, non-Unity land, and it would be a lot more sort of easy to figure out what's going on there. It's easier to run, easier to test, easier to debug. It's just, like, easier everywhere. I get to do that periodically. You'll see on the on my task board, there's, like, the LNL issues with the firewalls and stuff. Yeah, a lot of that is actually managing some changes to the bridge and relay, the LNL bridge and the LNL relay. Those are on the same version of .NET as Resonate right now, but there's no real reason for them to be. So I'm going to be at some point working on a rewrite for those that puts them up to .NET 8 and also combines them into one application. So the bridge and the relay will be in one application. Reason behind that is the bridge is, like, not that complicated, and neither is the relay, to be fair. So they can just go into the same executable, and it'll help a lot with performance. Fuzzy Socks, I think I called you Fuzzy Socks there. Give me a second here. Fuzzy Fox says, so what's up with Resonate marketing thing? Well, there's an announcement that you can read for additional information there. Euphoria says, it's true that variables were not being used in Camel case and were still using Pascal case in the Resonate codebase. So on that one, it depends on where you are. So public members of classes and all the other, struct.
You forgot about these data types, guys.
there's no need, right? I'm being speaking in generics. Public class members, and yes, I know that includes structs and records, but don't worry about them, should have Pascal case. Local variables and parameters within functions should be Camel case, or at least that's the convention that we're going into. Just have additional engineers, and I don't want anyone, and that includes the engineers working on the code base, to waste any time on, like, code star related things. And some of the easier things we can do there are those naming rules, which I was talking about. Those naming rules will also do an interesting thing when it comes to code style, which is code reviews can be, in some cases, like, emotionally charged. And so removing as many things as possible from the code review helps with that. In this case, it'll be a robot complains to you that there are style issues, and you can yell and swear at the robot all you want, but it's a robot, it's not a person. And so it's a lot nicer to be a conversation with. And also, once the initial rule set exists, and there are issues that come up, for example, we're like, oh, in this PR, we saw this style issue that we haven't got tooling for. We can then add tooling for that issue, and then subsequent PRs never have that issue again. And again, the robot complains at you, and you can be as mad as you want at the robot because it's not a human. Anyway, that's the whole reason behind linting. Like, everyone's like, oh, linting's for enforcing a consistent code style. It's like, no, linting is to make pull requests faster. As for Euphoria saying when we decided that, it's just like the natural convention. We do have some places where we differ from the .NET code style, but not many. So that's cool. Master asks, where is the yellow dog man now? I think they're at home now. They were traveling for a long time. I think they're at home now, yeah. Earthmark says, with the deprecation of SSL3, or wherever it was, yeah, I get confused too. When it comes to, that kind of thing, I just don't talk about, the actual specifics. I just go, I'll go read, right? Because I always get it wrong. I thought SSL3 was the good one, but no, TLS 1.3 is the good one. You see how there's confusion there? And it's just like, I got no chance. We haven't had any issues reported. If we were to have issues, the issues that we would like you to see are in weirder networking conditions. So corporations, businesses, educational establishments, etc. Those are sometimes just finicky about that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't think it would be there. Noodlebug says, I heard that there was a PR for the leap motion fix. Is there an ETA on that? No, there's not an ETA. Additionally, we're trying to sort of change up the language there and basically be like, we're working on it rather than PR, because it puts the pressure back onto to other people if you're like, yeah, well, this is in review, etc. So working on that. But yeah, there's no like Noodlebug, just generally, we don't offer ETAs. I know that's like frustrating. Like, we do our best, but we are a team of essentially... Sorry, that number just changed. Give me a second whilst I calculate it. We were 3 engineers, and then like overnight, we are 4.5 engineers. I say 0.5 because Ryuvi's primary goal is on the content team. I saw them working on some facets today, for example. That's their primary. So if there's content work, they should be focusing on that. If they have spare time, they can do that. Dante also submitted a fix, and that wasn't expected. So maybe we'll add 2.5s together, because again, Dante's primary responsibility is not engineering. So with all of that together, we would have 5. 5. Yosh says, I know a lot of the C# cases use Pascal case. Yosh, let's reread this statement. By convention, C# programs use Pascal case for type names, namespaces, and all public members. That's exactly what I said. So, yes, that's exactly what I said. If that web page will load, it's not loading for some reason. I'll blame Microsoft. Let's move forwards. Noodlebug says, super dumb question. There are no dumb questions. There are no silly questions. Your questions are always valid, even if they are questions which you've had before. It doesn't matter. Where are we? Sorry, I lost the question thread somehow. One would look into making an out-of-game flux visualizer. Is there a direction? Yeah, there's actually already a project there. It's in the user creations thread, I think. Let me take a look. Yes. Go to our user creations forum. You're looking for solder. Solder. I'm in the wrong location. I'm in the wrong location again. Sorry, I'm having one of those days where I just click the wrong thing all the time. X says, how does request status work in the Resonite Signal R-Hub? As previously mentioned, our API is unsupported, and to maintain that illusion, well, not illusion, to maintain that premise, I have to like not answer that sort of question. Like, if I've got a chance to, I will, but I not at office hours. JForce says, can't wait for all mod frameworks to break when the process-based architecture comes in. Yeah, that's going to be a big thing. We can't really give heads up to mod authors when we're going to break them, because that's the whole point of modding, right? Is that you're doing it hackily and you understand it will break at some point. But when the update notes hit, I'm and usually the team are very aware of like the sort of kind of area that might be broken. So we could probably give mod authors a heads up with that. It'll be, instead of this is about to break, here's what you need to do, it'll be like, this is broken, this area has broken. Spec says, since we're talking about coding standards, do they include the usage of C# documentation comments such as summary tags? Yes. Most of that will be internal or not useful, though. And the reason behind that is those tags don't lend themselves to things like components or protoflux. So like most fields on a protoflux node are not useful to you as a Resonite developer. They're very useful to us as an API developer for the code, but not for stuff like that. We actually had an interesting one come up. sorry, I've got a frog in my throat or something. Recently with that naming stuff, actually, because one of the other code rules that it is common to do is throw up a warning when a variable is never used or never assigned to. However, in Fruix Engine land, particularly in components, none of the syncs, which are the variables that you can edit in the inspector, they're usually sync or sync derivatives, like anything in an inspector, those are like assigned to and initialized automatically by Resonite. And so for each component class, it was throwing issues earlier today where it was like, this variable's unused. You don't assign to it. You don't read it. You don't look at it. Like, it's completely abandoned. And it's like, calm down, Linter. Calm down. I just had to turn off that rule because it's like every component had this sync is unused. I'm like, it is very much used, just in a way that is like unexpected. Right, let's go ahead and jump through some more questions. Noodle, you spam as many questions as you want. Literally, if you put 100 questions in a row, I would love you forever. Platonically. Not to spam questions, but are there any plans to have an updated legacy inventory where we can show inventory to others? I'm not sure at the moment. Our focus on the inventory would be reworking the inventory to start with, and then from there we can do sort of inventory showing from that. It would be inappropriate to focus on that before we focused on just the all-up inventory work. Nuki says, we're working on a avatar spawning pedestals, and I realize we'll likely have control of the avatars themselves in a folder somewhere. Is there a way we might preload content like an avatar without massive file sizes or transfer in RAM? Yes, you could. If you went with the sort of approach, and I say sort of because we should never say we're outright copying, but the avatar pedestals that VRChat use, they show a picture of the avatar, and then when you click on that pedestal, it loads the content into VRChat. You can technically do that inside Resonite. You would just have to do exactly the same thing, you know, have a preview of the avatar, maybe a static version of it that's posed but isn't, like, doesn't have IK or bones or whatever, and then when they click equip, you can cloud spawn the avatar out and spawn it in the world and then equip it. Their second question is, in what ways might we show a more detailed preview in avatar than a cut out image? Pictures. You could do the thing that one of the, like, the 2.5D avatar creator does, right? Where you take pictures from a lot of angles and then you compose that so that, like, it's a, like, holograph, you know, like those holographic things where you hold them and you sort of rotate them a little bit in your hands and you see the 3D effect. You could do that as well. If an avatar cannot be advertised by a picture, though, like, it's a problem, because an avatar is advertised by a picture outside of Resonite, so it should be possible to do it inside Resonite. It's likely that we'll have better, like, load control and asset control in the future, and you might be able to sort of do something like, as well as culling, like, loading zones. You'll be familiar with loading zones in video games. If you ever move too fast for the video game to, like, catch up, and sometimes, like, terrain won't load over the edge or whatever. They also get the level of detail problem as well, which is where you look at some distant part of a map, and, like I say, an open world game, and that distant part of the map is, of course, a lower level of detail because you're not close to it, and then you go close to it and it's still that level of detail. And so, like, you know, the trees look like toothpicks, and, like, the mountains and rocks are all, like, just static pictures, and that's because the LOD system of that particular game has messed up and not loaded the additional level of detail. I don't really know what I was talking about. I'll move on. Ravi is half because small. No, it's purely, like, it's no, like, badness on Ravi. It's purely because their primary focus needs to be on content. There are, like, dips and peaks of content related work that needs to happen. And so they can sort of fit naturally in between those. Aki says, what is the possibility of seeing user bios and maybe even status descriptions? We want to do, like, a full profile system. It would probably need to wait for the contact system rework to sort of start happening. But we want to do, like, a full profile system similar to... I'm like, Discord's is, like, a good model to go on, right? Because Discord's profile has, like, everything that you're talking about. It's got usernames, it's got pronouns, it's got statuses, it's got roles, it's got connections, it's got badges. Like, it's got everything that it needs to have. So it's a good thing to, like, look at and think, like, that sort of direction. Not exactly that, but that sort of direction. Jay says, it's all right to break mods. That means stuff is evolving. It wasn't a complaint. It is categorically okay to break mods, yes. If we worried about breaking mods, we would just have to make the decision to not allow mods. Nuki says, what would you suggest if I want to make something that reacts semi-realistically to motion, like a swinging object, but less calculation intensive than a dynamic bone chain? Don't sleep on... which is like the like slang, but like don't overlook the predecessor to Dynamic Bones, which is Smooth Transform. What's it called? It's a component somewhere that everyone used before Dynamic Bones. It can make stuff smooth. And also don't also dismiss like just boned models as well. This is a really bad example because it goes in towards cloth sim, but whatever, I'm live on a thingy, so we'll talk about it. But, like, you could make, say, like, a rope, which is just a couple of, like, bones, and then you can rotate the rope and all sorts of things by just rotating those bones. Like, you don't have to use bones to make a rig for a humanoid or, you know, any other creature. You can use bones for stuff like that. Commonplace that I saw bones that I didn't expect to see bones before I got, like, way into game development is books. So if you imagine, like, opening up a book to read in a video game, the front cover of the book is a bone, and the back cover of the book is a bone, and you just rotate the bone when it opens, and the whole book sort of deforms in a way that is natural because of the weight pain. Exa says, Prime, since you work for Microsoft, why won't it let me log in? Yeah, there's an Xbox outage. Is it still happening? Yeah, it's still happening. Let me just send a quick good luck to some people. Okay, cool. I've still got a bunch of colleagues from the Mixer days who work at Xbox, and so I just sent them a good luck. That's the best thing you can do, by the way, if you know someone's dealing with an incident. Like, if Resonite goes, like, hard down, right, no one can play, and you're like, what can I do to help? Just sending a good luck to someone's okay. Don't spam them with it, of course, because they're trying to, like, handle it. But, like, if you really want to say something to them, but you're not sure what to say, good luck. Specs says, API use is what I'm talking about, Prime, for plugin development and mod development. Some of that might, but again, I don't think it would be that useful. Or at least not right now. What we need to do at some point is, like, relaunch the plugin thing as a concept. And I don't mean that technically, I just mean that sort of, like, the way that we talk about it, the way that we present it, the way that we document it, the way that we tell people how to do it, etc. Because it's a really powerful thing that, like, no one really uses, except for, like, really, really specific areas. Weird animation the Exo posted there. Anyway, Noki says, what settings would show the largest increase in frame rate for the average user? If you go to Raid VR's GitHub, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I wanted to put this on the wiki at some point, but this is their guide for, like, how to make Resonite work amazingly on a Steam Deck. And because a Steam Deck is usually less powerful than your computer, most of the guidelines that they have here would be applicable. Let's see. Master Master says, I would like to know more about universes and with the announcements you all made. Would this be a good way to showcase universities to use the universe feature with marketing showcases from this announcement? Universes would be unrelated to that announcement. That announcement is just making sure that we have enough content to show in marketing material, and that that we involve you guys in there because you make awesome content, and we can, like, you know, collaborate with that. Collaborate? What the hell, Prime? Collaborate? What is that word? But yeah, we can collaborate with them. Universes are documented on the wiki, so I encourage you to read. I'm losing English today. Something's wrong. But yeah, universes are documented there. If you're not a business, basically shouldn't be using them right now, though. Mr. Thomas says, we have LODs already in Reso, don't we? We do have a LOD component. It's ancient, and I'm not sure how well it works. I think there's bugs with it as well. Like, we need to do more work in the LOD space. Nuki says, how might I preload part of an avatar so it loads faster, more cleanly, or not have too much file size? You can't. Moving forwards, would you think books like this one would sell well? I want to move, like, in life. I don't know, like, how to do this. Like, I want to sort of move society away from requiring the purchase of a book to understand a topic. For those of you who remember their education days, it's like, hey, you should buy this book and read it for this semester. And I'm like, why? There's the internet. I'm in a computer science degree. There's the internet. I'm not going anywhere near a physical book. I'm just going to use the internet. So I don't personally think a book like that would have any success. You're welcome to create one, though. We did have one that was created for that other place that was kind of cool. Alex says, did Siri get an inquiry if they were running office hour? They're free to do one if they would like to. I don't know what they would add to it beyond all the other ones that are in existence, but they're free to do one if they would like to. Questions? Coco collocate can mean whatever we want. It sounds like tropical almost, right? It sounds like it might be like a collaboration meeting in Hawaii or something. Or maybe that's like appropriate. I don't know. Whatever. J4 says, I left school before we had to buy books for computer science. I was like a master strategist for my degree. I chose an option that allowed me to pick as many modules as possible. Then I chose as many modules as possible that did not have exams. And then I just did all the work in like one night, usually, for each module. Do not suggest doing that, but I fully understand that people do that. Hey, let's all ping Prime about the same question. That's kind of a question from Exo there, which is the universe ID is some random hash. Yes, the universe ID is some random. It's not a random hash. It's a GUID. It just is. It's a GUID. We want to change up how universes work to make them better, more functional, etc. So the feature is, I don't want to say bare bones because that means don't use it. But like the feature is there. It does do stuff right now. I just want to make it do more and a better. Mr. Tumnus says, is there any plans for rigid body physics objects that open up a lot of possibilities? Yes, there is a GitHub issue that you can read more about. I ditto to whatever Earthmark said about Exo's code. The Master says, a user asked if there would be offline resources, readable Resonite documentation, or something on the lines of that. You could technically run the wiki offline. There is a wiki plugin that enables you to actually not bind, but it makes a PDF, basically, and then you can send that to a binder to, like, turn wikis into books. It's called like Wikibook or something. And there's even a service that will take the wiki output and turn it into a book for you. Of course, they then take a percentage of sales, etc. But like, you know, but you could do that. To double back on the code for a bit, the confusion was because there is promises and async stuff, async await within there. So particularly with JavaScript, which this piece of code is, the asynchronous model has been evolving as JavaScript has been evolving, but JavaScript can't evolve that much because it's a very basic language that has a humongous ecosystem behind it. As such, you end up with a bunch of like junk on top of junk on top of junk on top of junk, and that's why you've got stuff like that. Like, I don't like promises, I don't like callbacks, I like async await, and if you don't do async await, then I'm not using you as a language. If you don't do it in your code base, that's fine, I'll deal with it, but like if your language does not have that sort of concept, I won't use it. And this is one of those weird new languages, like Rust, Elixir, even Go's included in that. I call those like sort of like new age languages because they're like really new and everyone's like, they're really good, but I just never have time to look at them. All right, moving down to questions. I do actually have a bunch of programming books. I bought some that were like really cheap on eBay once, but it was like buy five, and like a few of them were just like, I recycled them the moment they arrived. It was still a good deal. For example, one of the books that arrived in the bundle I bought was a Silverlight book. If you even know what Silverlight is, you know enough to know that that's a pointless book. For context, Silverlight was Microsoft's attempt to sort of recreate Flash, I think. I don't think I ever actually saw anything using Silverlight, but it was sort of like Microsoft's attempt at Flash again. Bearing in mind that the previous attempt that Microsoft did that for that was ActiveX, and that was horrendous, and most viruses that you can get on older operating systems are actually caused by ActiveX, so cool. We kind of went like ActiveX, and then Flash appeared, and everyone was like, yo, Flash! And then Flash died, and people were like, well, maybe Silverlight. And it's like, nope, we just use JavaScript now. Okay, questions, rather than me ranting about random programming languages. Although I will rant about another random programming language in a minute. Nuka says, is there an ever issue of fire on local change potentially only setting things locally? Yes. Depending on what you do coming out of fire on local change, it will depend on what you get local or not local. You should be okay, like, depending on what you do, though. So the thing you have to remember with all impulses, like, so all of the ribbons with arrows in it, the white ribbons or the slightly off-white ribbons, I'm colorblind, I don't know what color they are, those only run on one computer. Sorry, they run on each computer that they're called for, but they don't run on every computer. They only run on the computers that make them run. So a good example being a button with a button events node. The impulse chain there only runs for the user who pushed the button, but the effects that they have on the data model are what are synced across the network. So an example here is if you push a button and it does a bunch of maths, but then doesn't do anything with that maths, it will stay on your computer. But if you push a button, do a bunch of maths, and then set your height to the result of that maths, using a write node or something like that, that will be synced over the network because the end result is make you taller. When it comes to protoflux, though, there are a bunch of variable types where the local variable type isn't networked, and some are networked and some aren't networked. I get that wrong. It's another one of those things where, like, there's more than one thing and I can't keep them straight in my head, so I just read each time I need them. I've just, like, learned that there are some things that just cannot stay inside my head. So I don't bother. I just pull it up in documentation and be like, yes, this is the one I need. Goes from 2009. Yeah, that makes sense. Lex says 2012. What's Rust's year? Like, when did Rust first come out? Lex says that they're still using stuff at work that is running ActiveX. I don't even know, like ActiveX's, like, operational model. Like, is it really similar to, like, a 1990s WebAssembly? All right, looking for additional questions. The master says, can you rant about COBOL? I can tell you one fact about COBOL. My mother learnt to program in it during her education. She, of course, can't remember any of that, but I always found it interesting because it was like, oh, okay. Yosh says Rust is 2014. Are there any languages that are, like, super new? Like, Gen Z languages or whatever? I don't want to, like, look at the Gen Z language. Zig? Yeah, Zig's a good example. What I mean by this is, like, one of the problems that we have in the language space occurred with Java. Like, Java's creation basically said, like, hey, object-oriented is kind of cool. And so we've got all these words that you know and love, like class and blah, and, you know, all that stuff. And then for a while, most languages just either adopted that style and made versions that added features to that style. Like, so for example, C doesn't really have classes, but C++ does. And JavaScript used to not really have classes and now does. And so everyone sort of, like, adopted that paradigm. Or they made multiple paradigms occur. So you can write functional in C#. You can write functional in JavaScript, etc. But then things like Rust and Go and Elixir and all of those come along. And they say, we are not these languages. We're going to do stuff differently. And it's just interesting to see what happened. And that's why with the question I had about the Gen Z languages is, like, there are a lot of people in the sort of software development space who are really, like, frustrated and tired right now. And the reason behind that is because, especially in the web development world, we've got, like, years, decades of technical debt that can be felt in the very fabric of building websites. So if systems come out that sort of move that forwards with new ideas, I'm interested in them. Haskell's ancient, though, isn't it? I was, like, for example, I was really interested in Elm. Elm's a little bit too opinionated to the max. But Elm has the sort of premise where you cannot write code that has errors. It can do wrong behavior, but it can't do errors. So you'll never see things like a null pointer exception in Elm. And Elm's errors are some of the best I've ever seen. Like, you know, something goes wrong in an Elm program, and it's like, here's exactly where the problem is. Here's what we suggest you do about it. Here's some links to some articles about how to fix it. Whereas, like, you get an error in, like, C#, and it'll be like, error CS14003. And then you click that link, because it says, like, click the link to go to Microsoft documentation about CS, whatever that number was. And it's just, like, a blank page with, like, nothing on it. And so then you Google it, and then you get, like, some person's like, I'm seeing this, but, like, blah, 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 blah. And it, like, it is applicable to you, but the solution for them was to just delete the code, and that isn't the solution for you. Anyway, let's go back to questions, because otherwise I'm just going to rant about programming for a while. I'm going to read this verbatim so that people don't understand why I'm just, like, frozen right now. Nuki has asked, they were having an issue in the culling system in the Avatar Station where the protofox sometimes doesn't reparent the user to the culled area's user slot. This is a fire on change, not localized, based on a locally set Boolean field set if user is in bounding box. I can't seem to get it to happen outside of the headless, nor do I see why it sometimes doesn't reparent users. There are some, like, really odd stuff in headlesses, mostly because headless users don't have heads, as you can see from our update notes, etc. But that might be causing it. Like, if you cannot reproduce it off a headless, then it's a headless at fault. If you're using Fire on Change, you need to make sure to shove a user in there. I'd maybe suggest the local version. If you do a Fire on Local Change and then a set parent, it will network. Don't worry about that. The end result of that impulse chain is the set parent node, which does cause data model changes, so those are synced. Deathhammer says, doesn't WebDev have a ton of frameworks? Yes, new frameworks are being created literally every day, and they are competing. And not only are they competing, because it's the way things work, there's now marketing teams for those frameworks. And then there's sort of fan bases for those frameworks until frameworks sort of turn into much how you might treat like a video game or a TV show, right? So you get people who are like hardcore Dragon Ball Z fans. You now get people who are hardcore React fans, Svelte fans, Vue, Angular. What the hell was Google's library called? I don't remember. If anyone is using jQuery in like 2024, I just want to like sit them down and talk to them. Like, I don't want to speak on the behalf of someone here, but like Protobuf is like is another good example, right? Google uses a lot of Protobuf, and I'm like, this is cool. I wish, like, I don't know why we stopped it, but like Mixer was using Protobuf for a bit on one of our services, and we stopped and we went to pure JSON, and I wish we hadn't. Protobuf is cool. If Rust can do Protobuf, then like, yeah, there's no, like, just everything, just use Protobuf. It's so much easier. Oh, Protobuf is nothing to do with Protoflux, by the way. It's just an interesting quirk of naming things. Where are we? I will rant about British TV, I promise. I haven't forgotten. I'm almost there. There is a cash prize, remember. Okay, Nuki's question is down there, so I'll get back to that one after a master's question. So, speaking of clicking links to documentation, but do you think we'll soon have Resonite help button links or clickable buttons and they can take users to different parts of the wiki natively? Not anytime soon. When it comes to like stuff getting into Resonite that should be in Resonite, the next biggest thing that you might see there is the help tab of the dash. We talked about it a while ago. I think there's like a GitHub issue somewhere. I want to do that. Unfortunately, due to other factors, which are perfectly fine, don't yell at anyone, I can't work on that right now. I've got to do business stuff for a business client or complete my promises that I made for launch. There are like one or two remaining promises, and one of them is the supporter badge. I'll probably give that to Syro now, actually. The supporter badge, and there's like another promise I made before launch. So I've got to do those, and then I can do the help tab. Moving downwards, Nuki says, is there any difference between Fire on Local Change on Fire on Change with local user as the user? Never use local user into Fire on Change. You can go to the wiki and read about that. I'll get you the link. I'm so confident sometimes that I'm going to find the wiki page I want, and then I just spell it wrong. I typed Protoflix, like Netflix, Protoflix, Fire on Change. Protoflix. Oh, yep, Jay's got you the link. So there's a bunch of stuff there that is like duplicated on all of the Fire on things because that's how important it is. And if you edit the source or look at the source of that page, you'll see it's actually a template because that's how important it is. There's this new phenomenon that's happening with my Chrome, and if anyone can fix it, I will give you a cheeseburger. I type in like a URL I want to go to, and instead of going to that URL, it does a Google search for the title of that web page, and I don't understand what's going on. Are you holding buttons while it? Oh yeah, my alt key's being stuck down. Is it alt maybe? Yeah, I'll try holding it down intentionally. Yeah, I noticed that in Visual Studio. I wasn't able to backspace, and I was going mad because I'm trying to edit code and I couldn't backspace. And I realized my alt key was stuck down. My voice is just like dying. Give me a second. All right, let me double check that there aren't any. Oh, hi, Fanta! Sorry, I'm going to get back on track. Mr. Thomas says, I and another user was looking at the permissions for a world, like builder, moderator, etc. And you can't add your own permission slots. Is this a planned feature? Yes. Hard permissions would probably include something like that, or it might come after hard permissions. Basically, the permission system is rigid right now, and with hard permissions, we will get a bunch of extra features, but also a bit more flexibility. Alex says, how can I, in Protofox, find out what tab I am on in the dash menu? You can't currently. Oh, Ucolop made a product for it? It's called Dash Sync. Excellent. Look for Ucolop's public folder and look at Dash Sync there, then. For dog update, dog is now standing on my lap.
Yeah, hi. Hello, doggy.
All right, all right, I'm scrolling around. Nuki says, you never explained how far on local change is different. I did, it's on the wiki. Like, if you look at the history, like, who wrote that content? I wrote that content. So if you'd like the explanation of how all of those are different, wiki's got you. All right, I think we're at the end of questions, so as promised, here comes the TV rant. Spec says, British TV question for you. Did you ever watch The Dreamstone? Do you have opinions on it? I don't currently remember Dreamstone, but it's likely if I watched an episode, I would remember it. Here comes the British TV rant. I just remember what the question was. Exodus says, any weird British TV shows that you want to remember? So we're going to do this. We do this every sort of 6 months or so because it comes up randomly. There is a $60 cash prize if someone can locate a watchable recording of a particular weird British TV show. And I'm not joking, I will give you $60. It used to be $30, but it went up to $60. The show is called Life Force, but I'm not going to link you the wiki article. I will in a moment, but I'll tell you the journey it took for me to find the name of the show. I have a vague memory in my head of watching a TV show where these like family lived on a boat and they went around to various islands. The premise was that global warming had happened, the UK had flooded, and it was basically a series of islands. So a lot of people lived on boats and they traveled between the islands selling and trading, you know, stuff like that. And the show's premise was that, like, each episode, they would go to, like, a new island. And, of course, there were sometimes episodes where they would stay on one island for more than long than one episode. Or there's arcs where maybe only the boats featured, you know, all that sort of stuff. But general premise, one island per episode. So this episode, they went to an island, and everyone was sort of, like, in a trance and asleep, except for a little girl that sort of ran around the island, and they had to, like, find her several times. And it was really confusing. And it turned out, and this is how my memory does it, that the family, like all of the people on that island, were eating small bird eggs, like quail egg size. They were eating bird eggs, and they weren't allowing this little girl to have any, because they're too good for you. You're too young to eat the bird eggs. Now, for some reason, the bird eggs made the people go sort of comatose, and a lot of them ended up sort of journeying to a church that was at the top of the sort of mountain that was on this island. And at the top of the church, they were all just sort of slumped in the pews of the church, sort of comatose and not really paying attention to anything. And so somehow, I don't really remember how, a sort of telekinesis-style brain ability that one of the characters that lives on the boat had allowed her to go into the sort of other world that existed in the church, which, and again, I should, you know, this memory is as clear as day, like I could draw you a picture, inside the other alternate dimension show church, there's like a giant like staff at the top of the church at the altar, and it's like shining red light over everyone and stealing their brains or something, and they like break it and then people wake up. That's all the information I had. And I found out it was Life Force. And now I've told you that it's Life Force. I can read you the episode synopsis of that particular episode. Episode 5, The Village That Dreamed Itself to Death. The children pick up a distress call from Lopagarth Island. Responding to the call, they travel to find its village completely deserted, save for Gemma, the little girl I mentioned. A sleep-deprived long girl in shock after a week of compulsively trying to stay awake. They eventually ascertain that her parents and the rest of the island population have been eating contaminated gull eggs, making them fall under a shared hallucination, and gather to become comatose in a church for its otherworld crystal entity. And I'm like, I feel so validated right now. My memory is, like, validated. So anyway, if, as I said, there is a $60 prize if someone finds a watchable Episode 5. I don't care about it. Episode 5 is fine. If you find the entire season, you get a bonus cheeseburger. But I just need episode 5 because, like, that memory is so strong in my head and I felt insane for many years until I found it. Mr. Tumnus, you said that you were located in the UK. One of the media archives that exists in the UK has the entire season on VHS, and you can go to the archive and request to view it. You can't take that material outside of the archive, but you can view it. So, Mr. Tumnus, you are in the unlikely scenario where you go there, you will be able to watch said episode and confirm that it exists, but you won't be able to bring it back. What? It's on Apple TV? Are you serious? It's not on Apple TV. I just searched Life Force. It's not there. Why are you debating me like this? Oh, it gets confused with the movie. Yeah, be careful of Just Watch. Like, I've downloaded a couple of viruses whilst trying to find this TV show. So, just be careful. Anyway, that was the weird TV show that I wanted to remember. I will talk for approximately 3 more minutes about other weird TV shows. So another weird one I remember from childhood was called Ghost Hunter. I don't remember the premise, but I remember, like, several of the story arcs. There was, like, this nasty lady who hunted ghosts, but the ghosts were good. And so there were some children. When it's a children's TV show in the 90s, it's always, like, kids against, like, a sort of Scrooge-style character. But there was, like, a ghost or something, and then she used the ghost's energy to make a time travel machine, and she time traveled back to, like, Victorian London, and she put one single pound, into a bank, and she said, "Now we'll time travel home, and we'll be millionaires," says this, like, evil person. And that was my first exposure to the concept of interest as a child. I went and I asked my mum, and I'm like, parents go through a lot, but, like, you know, their son coming up to them and being like, "So in this TV show that I'm watching, yeah, there's a ghost lady, and she time traveled, yeah." Like, it just won't make sense. Anyway, Draconis says, "You can't request a copy of the thing from the video archive." No, they won't allow, like, I've looked through the things, and they won't allow copies, and the reason behind that is because of copyright. They are an archivist, but they still have to follow, like, copyright. I can get you, like, the archive information. I'll dig it up again. That was Ghost Hunter. At the same time on there was a show called Demon Headmaster, which was about a headmaster that worked at a school that was a demon. And if he removed his eyeglasses, he could hypnotize people. There was, again, a girl that was, you know, the main character trying to fight against him. At some point, he makes a clone of her that is partially Wasp. And I'm not making that up either. But at some point, he clones this high school girl that's, like, under his care because it's a school, and puts Wasp DNA in there. So that's pretty weird. And there you go. I told you I would limit my ranting. Whip's talking about the alt thing with the searching. Let me see. All right. No, it's not alt. I don't know what's going on. I will... Oh, fun fact about Life Force as well. The main baddie in Life Force is the main character, or one of the main characters, there's kind of two, from the TV show Homeland. I forget his name, but he's in a bunch of stuff now. Patrick Stewart is in the Life Force film. That's interesting. Damian Lewis, yes. Damian Lewis is the main baddie. So Damian Lewis is in Homeland, a bunch of films. What's he in that's new? Oh, yeah, Billions. He's in Billions, which is quite new. I never liked him in Homeland. Maybe it was because, like, I was, like, remembering that he was a baddie in Life Force. Because he's a, like, nasty baddie. He's got glowing eyes as well, as you can see from the Life Force poster. Anyway, that's all I've got. I'll follow up here in a moment with the archive link, and maybe some people can do some reading there. But my general plan eventually is to, like, retire to the UK, and at that point I'll do it. I'll go to the archive, and it'll be like, "I don't care, guys. I just want to watch it. I just want to watch it." I'll speak to you guys soon.